And then we also have aisles featuring Erin's physical aids to help her with her tiny ankles. And her restless
her little boss baby ankles. You got boss baby ankles? Come to our store and you'll be fixed.
You do have boss baby ankles, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she does.
And that is okay.
That is okay.
You are okay too if you have boss baby ankles.
That's right.
Hello and welcome to episode number 513 of the podcast. I'm your host, Fox McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that entertain do not matter.
To find out more about these contemporaneous pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook and Threads the podcast. And we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod. We're still on Twitter. We're still there.
What is it? Like, I just need someone to pick. Like, what do I check now? What am I doing? You know?
Check them all.
Is this what the cage fight is about? If so, I would love the clarity. I just want someone to tell me where to go and what to do. Thank you for joining us this week as we are going to be talking The More You Know.
But before we do that, you guys, if you're listening on Wednesday, then it is still Amazon Prime Day. Has anyone mentioned that it's Amazon Prime Day? Are there any influencers who've told you to buy an air fryer? No matter. The PMG has a great little storefront with aisles filled with weird but useful stuff. We have an aisle called Knox's Workday Essentials that includes the best whiteboard markers and his go-to walking pad.
Yep.
My Amazon aisle includes many of my skincare must-haves, as well as the best thing in my entire house that I love like my own child. And then we also have aisles featuring Erin's physical aids to help her with her tiny ankles. And her restless
her little boss baby ankles. You got boss baby ankles? Come to our store and you'll be fixed.
You do have boss baby ankles, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, she does.
And that is okay.
You are okay too
if you have boss baby ankles.
Right. And then Indy, she has an aisle including her favorite hot sauce, her favorite cooling blanket. Yes, that's a thing because I also own it and love it. And her go-to hair dryer. Now, simply head to amazon.com/shop/ See, it is hard to say. Look at that.
Yeah, right.
Simply head to amazon.com/shop/thepopcast and hit the link in the show notes if you don't even want to type that in. And you can fill your cart with treat yourself items from the aisles of the PMG.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Jamie, some do the more you know.
The more you know.
As always, we do these The More You Know episodes on the regular for BFODs, our best friends of the show. So if you like what you hear and want more of these kinds of episodes, just go to knoxjamie.com/Patreon to join up today. Jamie, would you like to start with our Ask a Personal Question?
I would. Okay. My personal question comes from Abby Jean Co., who said, Erin and Jamie, what is your favorite Vault song from Speak Now, Taylor's Urgent? Now, as for those who don't know, Speak Now is another re-record as Taylor takes back her work and her art from Scooter. And yeah. I don't think he owns it anymore. I think it's all already been resold. But no matter, we're getting these re-records. And with those come Vault tracks, which are songs that she did not put on the original album that did have 16 tracks.
Good Lord.
And but she was like hoarded them, and then she was like, now you can have them. And so, which is super fun. I do like some of the Vault tracks. Like, What's the one with the Blake Lively music video with the cake and Miles Teller? That one? I liked that one.
I have reached saturation point.
Oh, no.
Hey, can I? Okay, this is great. I want to ask a question because obviously we're drawing from our AUA questions that we're getting for this week that we're recording on Tuesday night. I saw one question was like, Jamie, have you turned? Are you no longer a Swiftie? And the kind of subtext I'm getting from both of you is just like you're full, you're good with Taylor? Is it you're oversaturated or like you've turned, like you've heel turned?
No, I have a 13-year-old who is going to the concert this weekend. And so she is in full prep mode.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Like we were in full prep mode.
Right. And I respect it. And I want to be there for her. So all of my energy is like, yeah, yes, let's. Yeah.
Well, and to
Let's
be fair,
to more of this.
To
yeah.
be fair, there are some rumors that she is secretly still dating Matt Healy, and okay. I don't love that.
That's
I don't love that.
Definitely happening.
Okay, but listen, I want to say this. Speak Now originally came out in October of 2010, and I was having truly the worst Minty B of my entire life because I was turning 35. I had just hit a pedestrian with my car that month. I was struggling. Okay, yeah. And so the idea of listening at the time to a 20-year-old sing to me about loss and love. Get the F out, right?
Also, I think this is like the most entitled Taylor. Like, I hate this album.
Oh, you hate it. Now, I don't hate it, but like,
I'm sorry.
It's not my favorite.
I do not love a vibe where someone is coming in and interrupting a wedding ceremony. I also do not love a vibe where someone is like, she's better known for all the stuff she does on the mattress.
She changed those lyrics. Don't be mad at her.
I am so mad at her. I don't know. It's just very entitled and I do not like it. And that dress is not cute.
Well, I will say that. The dress is not cute. And I hope she now can look back and go, those bangs were a situation.
Those bangs were a situation.
Listen, but I do prefer, like, I do like the song Mine, but only sung by Santana to Britney on Glee. That is the version I like because it's like a stripped down. Yeah. And I do like Haunted. Because it's got a big strings moment. But listen, I'll tell you these vault tracks. Listen, Electric Touch, I know that's Evan's, like his favorite vault track, I think, right now on our staff. But here's the thing. I do like that she refers to her Pikachu as a ghost town. That's funny. I just think that's funny.
Listen, I want Evan to know that Holland referred to Electric Touch as mid.
Oh, no.
I hate it when the youths drop a mid or a boomer.
And I don't like Timeless because it's about like she creates a story. She goes into like an antique shop and she creates a whole story. And it involves World War II, which makes me think of those books where there's always a woman on the cover facing the other direction. That's like, and there's like a bomber overhead. Like those, yeah. You know those books, right? But here's the thing. Okay, Knox, I'm going to invite you into this because there's a new song on the vault called Emma Falls in Love. Uh-huh. And it is, I'm not normally a fan of name check songs. That's not my vibe. However, it's about Emma Stone because they were really close friends as teenagers. Emma Stone has talked about it even because she went to the Eras Tour and said, we've been friends for, you know, 15 years. And so that's why I got tickets. But she says, now the TikTok wants to make this song about who?
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield. But she doesn't start dating Andrew Garfield till after this album comes out.
Okay.
So do you know who in the song?
God, it's always so tough when we find out who it is about.
During that timeline, Emma Stone dated two people.
Okay.
The first is Teddy Geiger. She dated for 2 years.
Who's that?
Okay. So Teddy Geiger is a musician, was a teen pop fame person, right? Like, okay. So that's Teddy Geiger. They were together for 2 years. But then Emma Stone dated Kieran Culkin.
What?
It's about Roman Roy? Yes. Is this not shocking? I love it. This is exciting. I like it because, and it says they met on the superhero comedy Paper Man, in which they played a couple. Okay. And listen, I do get the vibe of a Kieran Culkin appealing to an Emma Stone.
I guess if we're asked to believe that she is romantically interested in Jonah Hill and Superbad, which we'll get to him and his romantic interestings
right.
later. Maybe we're asked to also believe that. I don't know.
So, Abby Jean, the answer to your question is none of the above. We are not, but I would love to know yours. And if you are someone who is a Speak Now, like, super fan, talk us through it. Talk us through why you love it. Is it because it was, like, at a certain time in your own life? Because I think that's why, for me, I was in my mid-30s. Like, this teen, like, innocent. Also, you got to remember, I had battle studies on a loop. And so hearing Dear John was not of interest to me. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'd be like, well, that's your fault. You know, and it wasn't her fault.
Yeah, I wish I could contribute more. But some of the things you're saying.
What's your favorite Taylor Swift era?
It feels like me trying to explain the Veer offense to you. And I don't know where to. I don't know. The only thing I want to interject and say is I don't know what statute of limitations, but I would say The Pedestrian Hit You. Jamie, you didn't hit The Pedestrian.
Thank you. Oh my God.
I don't know if we're clear
you.
On the legality.
I don't know if calling a naked person walking around.
No, that's a different.
Oh,
wreck.
That was a different.
That
person?
Was a different wreck.
Well, now you've implicated yourself as a bit of a serial strikes people with car.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize there were two incidents.
Well, that was the pedestrian was on Sanford University.
Jason, insert
campus.
From Hamilton when Burr's like,
talk less. What? Smile more.
I'm a good driver.
It's great. It's just a coincidence that this keeps happening.
That's
you know,
right.
It's not
That's
your
right.
fault.
That's right.
My Ask a Personal Question is from Ellen Filgo. And Ellen says, Knox, my kids introduced me to the Bluey episode, Flat Pack, which they claimed was their favorite episode. It was so beautiful, it made me cry. What are your top five Bluey episodes for when you want to hack your feelings? This is an excellent question, Ellen. So really any of the Bluey episodes you could do this to, but I'm gonna give you a top five and a bonus. Number one of all time in the history of the world and the human species. Is Sleepy Time. This deals with the comfort and safety kids need from their parents, but how they also have to like leave some of that behind. This is with the planets and the solar system and the dreaming and the blankie and everything. Flat Pack is also great. It's Flat Pack is kind of like a love letter to humanity and how like we used to be in caves and now we go to space. And again, this is like in a 6-minute cartoon. Like they're doing this. In a like, I've watched Sons of Anarchy.
Are the episodes really that short?
They're so short, and you'll have these episodes that are like 90 minutes long, and they don't say anything interesting. And meanwhile, Bluey packs it in. Copycat is a like it'll like just kick you in the emotional testicles real hard. It deals with coping with death. Granddad, that's a rough one. The Anthony Hopkins movie where he like is losing his memory
Father?
And feels sad. Father, it's like that, but in cartoon, a little lighter and a little funnier. But it deals with that Curry Quest. This one like guts me every time. And this, it basically like explains the hero's journey, like the Joseph Campbell hero's journey, while also showing how like it's really hard for parents to travel and say goodbye to their kids, and they feel really guilty about that. And then the beach, is my favorite. That's the bonus because it deals with the reality of being an introverted parent who needs alone time. But it's often lonely for their people. So it's just, again, this is, I think we talked about it, we've mentioned it. Bluey's just the most special TV show like on right now. So I encourage everybody to
check it out. That's so lovely.
Really good stuff. Some also lovely things, Jamie, let's go to our first segment. We're going to call this Yes Chef, No Chef, colon relationship edition. And really, I just want to say like, I want permission to say Yes Chef, and I don't really have that in my life.
No, we're doing it. You've created it.
Yeah,
good
so this is a
you.
Good context for us to do this. We're going to go through some things, some relationships, overtly or subvertly relationships, and kind of discuss whether or not they're a yes chef or a no chef situation. And the first one I'm going to talk about, Jamie, is Jeremy Allen White and Selena Gomez. Is this a yes chef or a no chef relationship a situation for you?
This is a yes chef.
Say yes chef.
Yes chef.
Say yes chef.
Yes chef.
Let's talk about it. Who are our players? Jeremy Allen White is an actor. He's the star of the Hulu and greenlit show The Bear that we really love. And then Selena Gomez is Selena Gomez. Now, at the end of June, a Dumois blind item suggested that Selena was dating Jeremy Allen White after they met shooting Vanity Fair's Hollywood issue cover at the start of the year. Now, he separated from his wife last September. That she filed for appropriate divorce in May. Now, they had been together since they were teenagers. They like met in drama class when they were like 14 and 17.
Yeah, and from what I understand, he wasn't like, it was like, surprise, I'm divorcing you. It wasn't like, we're getting a divorce. It was like, oh, I woke up and she chose violence today, I guess.
Yeah, like she posted a Mother's Day post calling herself a single mom. And he was like, hey, wait, I have kids too. What's going on? Holy moly. And so anyway, my favorite though was the theory was, now here is what's interesting. The theory was that he was cheating on her, but now it seems like she was cheating on him. And the proof is the best proof I've ever seen, which is filmmaker and actor Cooper Rafe, who starred in The Green Light, Cha-Cha, Real Smooth. Okay. That was a green light last year with Dakota Johnson.
Movie.
It's a great movie. And Dakota Johnson is best friends with Jeremy Allen's wife, Addison. They've been friends since they were kids. So she meets Cooper. There's a blind item about it, about this A-list star introducing her best friend who is technically married
right.
to her co-star. Well, Cooper Rafe is in a Zoom, and when he's on the Zoom, the name at the bottom of his square is Addison Timlin, which means he's on her Zoom, which means he's like at her house or something. It was very and listen, the Zoom is gonna reveal all your secrets, your background, your name, who you've logged in as. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But I also like that Selena herself has a TV show on HBO called Selena and Chef.
Yeah.
And so this kind of feels like she manifested it, which I really like.
I don't think she could hang in the beef kitchen or the bear kitchen. So that's the first thing.
No, 100% no.
She's kind of done. I feel like Selena Gomez has this almost like anti-Pete Davidson thing going on where it's like she's always in the mix.
Yeah.
For potential relationships, yes. But it's never actually confirmed. And I can't tell. This is before I said yes, chef or no chef, I wanted to get your perspective on. I can't tell. Is she winning the game? Is she just married to the game? Or is she a victim of the game? She's always in conversation. She's always being talked about. Is this by design? Is this just an unfortunate aspect of fame? Or is she just being like dragged along and victimized by this?
I think she's actually being dragged along. I think she's like, look. I survived the Biebs, okay? Yeah. Like, I made it through that. And that chaos of a breakup, the last breakup. And then I dated The Weeknd for 2 years, and he made a TV show about it.
Right.
Like, and I think she's just like, look, I'm just trying to win an Emmy. Like, I'm just working on my EGOT. So could we all just, I'm 31. Like, she's 30. She's about to turn 31. I think she's just like, I have one famous friend. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
over under 17 and a half months from a Wizards of Waverly Place rewatch podcast. You take an over, you take an under.
Yeah, I would take an over. I don't think she would do it.
Very confident. You are borderline cocky about this.
Only because I feel like Hotel Transylvania will never end. So she'll always be voice acting that. And also, I do think there's always going to be murders in the building.
There's always going to be murders in the building. Okay.
Until Steve Martin dies, right?
Well, you think Steve Martin's okay. Over. Who do you think goes first? Steve Martin or Martin Short?
I think I want it to be Martin Short, but it's going to be Steve Martin, just as that's how the universe sometimes plays with me.
I can tell this feels like it's not a respectful conversation, but I actually think it's very respectful.
I like Martin Short, but like, we're good. We did it.
I think he has a manic energy that his heart's just going to explode. You know?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
my fear. That's right. how I'll say I'm worried about him going
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I am concerned. You know what I mean? I am concerned.
So I'm a no chef on this.
We are not good chef.
No?
No.
I just want Selena Gomez live her life, be cool. I want Jeremy Allen White life, you know? Him be cool. Not get cucked on Zoom. I don't want that for him. Just make like really good chef content. Maybe get with Molly. I don't know if that's in the cards for him, you know? So I just want happiness for both of them, apart from each other.
Okay. Well, yes, chef to me. I want a Selena Gomez, Jeremy. Listen, let Selena Gomez live her best life on top of anybody she needs to.
There you go. There you go. Okay. Next up. Yes, chef, no chef. Keke Palmer. And a person named Darius Dalton.
Well, my favorite part of this is, who are our players? Well, Darius Dalton also goes by Darius Jackson. Like, his Christian name.
I did see that. I was like, who is this person? Is this the second Darius?
Okay, so he is a fitness instructor in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then Keke Palmer is Keke Palmer. Okay?
Right.
So in May of 2021, they meet. This is the most Hollywood thing. They meet at an Insecure TV show after party hosted by Diddy.
Okay.
And she, of course, she had appeared on Insecure, and then his brother played the role of Alejandro Pena, Dro. And so she walked up to him and was like, and the best thing is she talks about meeting him, and she was like, I was looking for a roster, you understand? Uh-huh. Which I do understand. Like, she was just looking for a good time.
Sure.
And then he ended up being like the father of her baby.
Yeah.
So I think looking back, she's probably like, I should have left it to a roster. I should not have let him.
I would say probably a platoon affair, not a whole roster. I don't need a depth chart here. I just need a couple guys I'm working between.
That's right. So they go public in August of 21. In December of 22, she reveals she's pregnant while hosting Saturday Night Live and their little baby Leo, which might be one of the cutest babies out of the gate.
Right.
He is born in February. Now, on July 5th, so last week, Keke Palmer goes to the Usher residency in Las Vegas, and she dresses up, and she, of course, as many celebrities do, takes an OOTD.
Where
she is looking fine. Uh-huh. She looks so beautiful.
I think later on she gets hit with allegations that her, quote, booty cheeks are out. Did you also see that?
Oh, I did see her booty cheeks. They were fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in a full sheer with like a little cupboard. Listen, she wasn't Dua Lipa, with him nipples out at the Barbie premiere. Girl, there are children on this pink carpet. Dua, come on. I did think, is this purity culture left over in me? Or do I just really, I don't need everybody's nipples out, men or women. I just don't need all the nipples out.
Like, I just think there's a time and place for everything. But also, this is not the kind of internet. I'm not on this corner of the internet. So when you say these things, I don't know if you're joking or if you're being serious.
I know. You just have to trust the process. So what happens is she posts pictures. Well, he then quote tweets one of the photos. And he said, it's the outfit, though. You a mom. and then after facing backlash, he of course came back and was like, I'm so sorry, I cannot police my woman. That's not what he did. He came back and he said, we live in a generation where a man of the family doesn't want the wife and mother to his kids to showcase booty cheeks to please others, and he gets told how much of a hater he is. And then he said, this is my family and my representation. I have standards and morals to what I believe. I rest my case.
Okay, not a court of law, so no cases need to be rested. Also, I would say this is not your representation. I think this is Keke Palmer, and you have no factor in this. Like, you do not qualify into the conversation. And I do think, like, when we're put on our heels, if the best strategy comes to your head is to be focused on the family talking points, I would just maybe be like, listen. Is this good?
James Dobson is not going to get a Malibu beach home. I'm telling you that right now. So listen. So the best part was the very next day, Keke posts on her Instagram more pictures from the event with more booty cheeks. And the caption is, I wish I had taken more pictures.
Yeah.
And then the next day, all of the photos of Keke were gone from Darius Dalton / Jackson's Instagram. He had unfollowed her. She had unfollowed him. Uh-huh. And then the best thing that happened, 2 days after he tweets that initial tweet, she launches a merch line that's called I'm a Mother. And I was like, good for you. Doing a little Ariana Maddox, like, love that. Make a merch moment. And then she shared a TikTok where she said, you ain't stopping what's going on with me, sweetheart. So if you gonna act up, I'm about to link up.
Yikes. Okay.
I kind of love, again, and listen, you cannot, when you are Darius / what is your last name, you're going to take on truly, what I would argue, like, second to maybe only Lizzo, is the queen of the internet.
Yeah.
Do you know how much people freaking love Keke Palmer?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't, you got to ride that wave. You can't push up against it because nobody on the internet is going to be for you.
She's so undefeated that she can be the face of a drink called Starry. Which Jason and I talked about this on Over Under
Cheers. I heard this on your episode. How dare you? Although Sierra Mist sucks, but
it replaced Sierra Mist, but no one talked about it. But they just they tried to sneak it in because Keke Palmer, and they almost did. They almost got it by us because Keke Palmer is so magnificent. I think it's not that if they were together it would be different at all. But part of me is like, my guy, what did you think like you were able to speak on with this? Like, why did you think you had any equity into this conversation about what she can and cannot do? That's Usher Raymond. Okay. If you were up there, you were going to grind on him and be serenaded by him. It's just what it is, you know? Well, go yes, chef or no chef on this situation.
Oh, in terms of yes, chef to her.
Say yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
Say yes, chef.
Yes,
yeah,
chef.
Yeah.
Right. And no chef to them being together. You know, it's a bummer because it's Leo's dad and he's going to have to be a part of his life, you know,
sure.
And we want that to be the case. And hopefully it can be amicable, but I'm glad. Like, yes, chef. Yes, chef to them splitting up and Keke going on her merry way.
Now, so we'll skip and come back here in a second, because this is reminiscent of another situation where it feels like there's a miscommunication within the relationship. And that is between Jonah Hill and his former girlfriend, Sarah. I don't know if it's Brady or Brady. I'm going to say Brady as in Tom Brady.
Wait a minute. It is spelled just like Tom Brady. Why would you think it's Brady?
My seventh grade science teacher was Miss Brady, and that's how it's spelled.
I knew there was a childhood influence in this.
And it was confusing because I wanted to call her Brady, but she said Brady.
No, and so, you know what? Your seventh grade teacher, her name was Brady too, and she just decided to have a mood and decided to call her.
Are you being ageist
Brady.
Again about Miss Carolyn Brady?
No, I'm
Brady?
Just saying there's no way her name was Brady. If it was spelled B-R-A-D-Y, in the year of our Lord, every year, it's Brady.
I know, but people are changing things now, and I just want to respect everyone and their name choice, you know?
Okay,
I have a boundary with names, Jamie. You know that, and Jonah Hill does too.
Well,
but I feel like this is reminiscent because the difference here is they were in a relationship.
That's right.
And hijinks ensue. So do you want to talk a little bit about this one?
So Jonah Hill, so the players are Sarah Brady is a 26-year-old surfing instructor. And then Jonah Hill is Jonah Hill. Okay. Now, some say they met while surfing. Some say he slid into her DMs, but they went public on August 9th, 2021 on his Instagram. And then they stayed together through, there's a mystery. There was not a clear like announcement of a breakup because he's generally pretty private about his private life, but he ends up, they were not even together a year. So that's for context. Not that a year can't be important. Like, don't get me wrong. Now he goes on, he starts dating, Olivia Miller or Miller, Miller. M-I-L-L-A-R-A-R.
Last names are weird, aren't
Stop
they,
Jamie? So he
confusing,
dating,
some would say, right?
So he starts dating Olivia Miller, and then they have a baby that came to the planet last month. So do I think that timing is suspicious? Yes.
Curious? Yeah.
Curious. However, she then starts posting some exchanges that they had. Now, one of them is from December 2021. It's probably the one that has gone the most viral.
Yeah.
And it's him texting her at 6:46 p.m. before dinner, probably, and him saying, plain and simple, if you need, and he's making her a list of the things that if you need these things, I'm not the right guy for you. Okay.
Yeah.
If you need surfing with men, if you need boundaryless, inappropriate friendships with men.
Okay.
If you need to model, which is actually one way she made income.
Yeah.
If you need to post pictures of yourself in a bathing suit, she's a surfing instructor.
Yeah.
If you need to post sexual pictures, which I don't know what those are, but I don't know if it's an OnlyFans situation.
I think any picture could be sexual if you're.
That's
really
right.
Wanted,
if you know. What's the bit? If you can masturbate to it, it's a sexual picture.
Tell me more about this bit. Like, what is it? What's that?
I think that's Michelle Wolf, by the way, that said that. And then he said, if you need friendships with women who are in unstable places, sorry, Aaron, and from your wild recent past.
Wow.
What a freaking drive-by.
I know.
I don't think it was about emotional state. I think it was about boss baby ankles.
About
I think
boss
unstable
baby
boss baby ankles. That's what it was about.
I mean, you're unstable, literally. He said, I'm not the right partner for you. If these things bring you to a place of happiness, I support it. And there will be no hard feelings. They've been together 4 months, by the way.
Now, look, if this was year 14 and it was like, look, we've both changed a little.
Yeah.
We've had a good run here, but here are my stipulations. It's still not a good look, but I would understand the emotive depth behind some of these statements, right?
That's right. And he said he wanted her to take down any surfing photos with, quote, her A in a thong.
Okay.
And then she replied, that's not a thong, which,
yeah.
To be fair, the cheeky vibe is in now, like for swimsuit.
I just think if you're litigating what is and is not a thong with your significant other, you've probably lost.
That's
already.
Right. That's right. And so, you know, and famously, I greenlit the documentary he did with his therapist,
right.
Which I'm now second guessing. Because here's the thing. This would be my point. Because listen, these are not boundaries. He says it. He says they're boundaries.
Yeah.
No, those are rules that you have to conform to be in a relationship with me. Boundaries are like, respectful boundaries are like, hey, I definitely need one night a week where we don't go out, you know, or something like that. Like, that's a healthy boundary, like that you share with your partner. But listen, if you're a therapist, and now I'm suspicious about Jonah's therapist. If you're
I think to what you're saying, just to clarify, for people who aren't familiar, I think the frame of this conflict or the analysis of Jonah Hill is that he is weirdly suffused in like melted therapy language and very productive, healthy conversations with a very unhealthy propensity to want to control or manipulate. And that's where it gets real murky, is this whole thing where we're all in therapy, but some of us are misusing it in a weird way. And that's what really became, not so much that he's weird about thong bathing suits, even though I think that's what hooked him on her, because he definitely slid into her DMs. There's no way they were surfing together. That's just me theorizing. That's where it gets a little weird. So I didn't mean to interrupt. But
No, that's okay though. And that is true, because listen, there's been this, you know, there's this meme culture, which is like, a man would rather go to space in a dong rocket than go to therapy, right? And I get that that's a vibe, but I also want to say, if you are, think right now, if you're listening and you have a therapist or you've ever had a therapist and your therapist isn't telling you that more than 50% of the stuff that's happening in your life is your fault, you have the wrong therapist. You have to have a therapist that's like, hey, this is you again. You're the problem. You're the problem. Because I think, unfortunately, probably what's happened to Jonah is that it's a lot of just like, Your mom is great. She is lovely. And listen, I remember Jonah Hill is a Nepo baby. Like, not that that makes him a bad person, but he's a Nepo baby. As a reminder, one time Seth Rogen was on Hot Ones and he was playing a game with Sean, and Sean said, okay, of the following actors, who is the most difficult to work with? And before the multiple choice was read, Seth Rogen says, Jonah Hill.
Wow.
It didn't even matter. And that could have been just a bit, but also, I don't know, like, is... And do I need Jonah Hill to be a good, like, do I think Jonah Hill is probably a bad boyfriend? Yes. Like, of course. Like,
sure.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody
read
went.
Through, yeah. I think if you read through, that doesn't seem, unless it seems less like a, I don't know, a megalomaniac as much as this is a very insecure person. This is a very insecure
person. That's right. And
here.
He talks about that in Stets in that documentary, which I still stand by as a great documentary. But like, remember, I know he solved Kanye's anti-Semitism. I do know that.
But Jonah Hill, like, or where he didn't kiss the girl, they CGI'd
it. Right. But Jonah Hill, like, also, why are you in Wyoming with an anti-Semitic? Like, you know, he famously even did an interview and he was like, I do need Kanye to get this together because I'm sick of dealing with my sister being mad about this, who his sister famously is Beanie Feldstein. So
that's right.
Anyway, so I'm a no chef to Jonah Hill.
We are not good chef.
No.
Okay. And I feel like that's a good call. I feel like it's a good call.
I know. I'm going on a risk, but guys, obviously, if you disagree, let me
know. Is there anything, obviously, because like she shared this, so we don't have the full picture. We don't know the entirety of it. I have a pretty good sense of it, but we don't know. Is there anything that if it got revealed, you'd be like, oh, okay, that makes me feel a little differently. Like if you found out this was viral marketing, would you be like, oh, okay, that's kind of clever. I'm into
that. Oh, that is like if he paid her to be like,
yeah.
Hey, the only thing is he recently, you know, he said, I'm not going to be marketing any of my movies for the next year. I've got some stuff.
Sounds like
on.
Somebody's about to market something, honestly. You know,
it does. It does.
Set me
and
up.
And I will say the Instagrammer who loves a problematic man, she has spoken about the drama. You know, she loves her some Johnny Depp and some Armie Hammer. Well, she has already come out as Team Jonah Hill.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's if you a know, take.
And if you know, you know. So she says she has receipts from close mutual friends. So. Oh,
okay.
Again, don't follow that. Don't follow
What if
that
he was account. Like, I'm big into IBLP, which shout out our Shiny Happy People recap.
Oh, yeah.
That
if
we
you
did.
Want to hear our Shiny Happy People for the Bible Binge, we did Shiny
it's,
Happy People.
I got to be honest. A lot of what we do is light and breezy. And this is just another light and breezy convo we're having. Be chill.
Very chill. So, I wouldn't be surprised, like, if there's a cult involved, like somebody, is there a surfing cult? Could that be a cult? I mean,
okay.
Probably,
I mean,
it
sounds like a good cult. Like, I mean, not a good cult, but like, it's an interesting cult. I would
Wear
consider
Wear your sunscreen,
that.
Though. Wear your sunscreen. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/popcast for 20% off your first system. That's OliveandJune.com/popcast. POPCAST, for 20% off your first system. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Okay, so that's Yes Chef, No Chef. Let's do What's the Word. And I want to talk about a situation in a couple different ways, a couple different layers. People may or may not be familiar with, but it kind of gets weird. And this is that it's like a collision of two worlds. Britney Spears, who is in Las Vegas, and Victor Wembanyama, who also is in Las Vegas, had an altercation. Jamie, do you know who Victor Wembanyama is?
I did not. I did not know who he was, because I do feel like this is part, because you know who both of them are. Although I do think I know more about Britney Spears than you. Maybe.
Do you know more about Britney Spears than I know about Victor Wembanyama?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. Like, Aaron, no. Do you know who Victor Wembanyama is?
I do, actually.
How do you know?
I know because of watching ESPN with Sophie and Melanie.
Okay, right. So what do you know about him?
He is a basketball person from France.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. Is that all you know about him?
He was first pick in the draft.
Yes.
And
what's like, special
if,
about
if
him?
If he was, if we were playing like Guess Who, and you had to describe him to someone, like who, how would you describe him?
Oh, I don't know. He was just in the text box.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't see a picture of him.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Is he cute?
I think he's cute. His sister's very attractive. His brother's very attractive.
Okay.
He's also like 7'5". And he moves like a person my size.
He's the tallest person in the NBA. Like right now, the tallest player. Okay. He's 19 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And he got a deal, I think, with the San Antonio Spurs for $12 million. Is that right?
I don't know the salary, but he was drafted number one overall. Yeah.
San Antonio is where the pop guy is.
That's right. Greg Popovich. Very good.
Popovich. I like him. Yeah. He's a fun guy.
Now, here's the thing. Greg Popovich. For some of the, if you have a certain kind of
He just
of
got
dad,
a big new contract.
He did, Aaron. This is like ESPN right now. I'm so proud. This is really great. He did. He got like $80 million.
Yeah, good for him.
$80 million?
Yeah, like for 5 years to coach this guy. So if you want to like enrage a certain kind of dad, bring up Greg Popovich.
Yes.
He's very progressive. Let's drink wine. Very into social justice.
The conservative and some people are like, dads
stick
do not
to coaching
like him.
Basketball, my man. I don't want to hear it from you.
Shut up and sing.
Okay. That's the vibe. That's right. So Victor was in Las Vegas because of the NBA Summer League.
That's right.
Brittany's in Vegas because she's Brittany. She just loves Vegas. And they are walking through a casino. We'll include a link to the video so you can see it. But they are walking through a casino. And Brittany and her entourage are behind Victor and his entourage. Mm-hmm. So everybody's walking the same direction, right? And Brittany decides to, man, this is a 7'5" and someone has just told me who it is.
It's another famous person. Yeah.
Right. And so she goes, and I love the stories that are like that she tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, she did not tap him on the shoulder. She couldn't even reach his mid-back.
That's right.
Like, so she goes and taps him on the back. And his security guard to the right of him, without even turning around, just absolutely puts out a mom arm to kind of swat her away.
Yeah,
that's right. And gave a SWAT. Now, people were like, he slapped her. If you watch the video, she slapped herself, like, to be honest, because of the way he hit her arm.
There's been some Zapruder film to it, and they're looking at different angles now. And it looks like his Mutombo slap hits her hand, and she slaps herself. She plays herself.
That's right, and she knocks off her glasses. Now, she doesn't know that. She's just like, I've been slapped. I've been slapped.
By my own hand. No one makes me bleed my own blood.
That's right. And my favorite thing is on the tape, you can hear a guy go, whoa, that's Britney Spears. As she has been slapped. Now, the police report, they come in. Of course, they do a police report. They looked at the surveillance footage. And this in the police report, it said, it showed Britney going to tap the Spurs player on the shoulder. That's not true. When she touched the player, redacted, so the name of the security guard, pushes her hand off of the player without looking, which causes Britney's hand to hit herself in the face. That is in the police report. And then the report says that the bodyguard in question went over to Spears' table and offered an apology, which she accepted. The security teams for both parties agreed that pushing someone off without looking is a standard response for most security and bodyguards, and it would not be uncommon for them to respond this way. And they ended up, the Las Vegas Police Department said, we've concluded our investigation of the alleged battery and no charges will be filed.
That's right. Now, in the video, which is very fun, after she gets after she slaps herself, she screams, "That's America for you. F word you all." Okay.
Which, well, if Brittany, also, listen, she could not get
I know.
Drink.
And Sam's behind her. Sam, he did like that. Like, am I going to fight, but I'm not going to fight?
Yeah.
Like, he kind of like rose up, but he didn't. He was not prepared to fight.
He bowed up a little bit, but he was like, this is not my forum.
And then her manager had gone way over to the right. Like, he was already in the place.
Oh, yeah. He's already in the Rainforest Cafe or wherever they're going.
He left them. I'm like, don't you have one job to keep up with her? Like, that's
no, he's like, I'm setting up the lava cake. You know, I just got to make sure the animals are yelling. But she did do an Instagram post, and she said, I've been working in the industry for years, and I've been with some of the most famous people in the world. Ellipses. NSYNC at one point were like the Beatles. Ellipses. Like, so.
Listen, can I tell you just really quick about the Ellipses? I saw that that's a Gen X like tick.
Yeah.
It like hurt my feelings because I use Ellipses all the time.
Oh, I do too. I try to connect the thoughts though.
Yeah.
And it not just be like stream of consciousness.
Something. Yeah.
It feels like she doesn't even know where the return button is. I even know where the return button is. And I don't use Instagram that much, but someone needs to help her out. But she, it's basically, she talks about how she's victimized, but then she's like, actually, I'm the hero because I didn't hit him back. And that's how
hit his booty, his booty cheeks.
She's going to like swat his coccyx or something because that's the only thing she could reach. But yeah, but I thought this would be a fun way to dovetail into.
Well, can I pause here real quick before you get into that? Can I just say, isn't it crazy that you would be walking that close to Britney Spears and not know that Britney Spears is behind you?
I get that you're from France. I think so.
I know, but like the fact that no one around them was like, oh my God, Britney Spears is behind it. Like, we're not talking about like, oh, Carly Rae Jepsen. No offense. I love Carly Rae Jepsen, but nobody's going to be like, Carly Rae Jepsen. But like, it's Britney. Everybody knows it's Britney Spears. Like, it's such, everybody's filming. I guess he just thought everybody was filming him, which I'm sure a lot of people would be filming him.
Well, but, if for context, this is NBA Summer League. And I think it was the night before his debut, which it's probably the biggest NBA event, maybe the biggest sporting event of the year.
Is that big basketball in Las Vegas that they built?
No, that's a different thing, actually.
Oh, it's not even there. Okay.
No, but that looks pretty cool.
That does look very cool. I like that they made it to Earth. I was like, oh, this can be different balls.
Yeah. All kinds of balls, you know?
All kinds
good
of balls,
bad balls, testicle balls, like all kinds of balls. Like, you don't even know we're capable of.
I know.
But I think he's in a context where everyone's doing that to him. Everyone's trying
that's
to
true.
Talk to
that's
him.
That's fair.
So I think it's a little heightened. So all that said, I wanted us to talk about favorite slaps of all time of any variety. Maybe this is like, we don't have to do snake draft. We can just like alternate a little bit.
Okay.
And just kind of go through like some in pop culture that were like, that's a cool slap I want to talk about.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite slaps of all time. And I remember I can see myself seated in my living room when it happened, which is season 1, Game of Thrones, when Tyrion slaps Joffrey, not once, not twice, but three times. I hated Joffrey so much already in season one.
Yeah.
The fact that, and then it set a tone for Tyrion that I was like, oh, can I be Team Tyrion? This is like, this is exciting. That's one of my favorite slaps of all time in like a fictional context.
The only thing more disrespectful than one man slapping another man is a man slapping another man three consecutive times. That's insane.
The fact that you do it three times and they just keep putting their face up for you.
Man, and you don't parry or anything. That's a great scene. That's when I knew I loved Tyrion as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, we just rewatched the Titanic this weekend with kids.
That's a good slap. I mean, I'm not pro men slapping women.
I mean, honestly, Jamie, kind of sounded like you were. You were literally like, that's a good slap.
If it's consensual, do what you want to.
I don't think it was. I don't think that was.
It wasn't.
But it's an important narrative slap.
It's a critical slap.
That's when you know Billy Zane officially sucks a dirty butt. Like it's the point of no return, you know, because Marlo's thing was, she was like, his eyes are like they have like dead eyes and I don't trust his eyes. And then after he slapped her, she was like, yep, told you. See, like I was right. And it's the way Kate Winslet like holds her head. You know, after, like, she just,
got
like,
her
rebound.
Her whole hair, her red hair just flings through the air.
It's a good
one.
It's
really good.
It's a good one.
I like when Cher slaps Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
You know what the better slap is?
What?
When Cher slaps Jack on Will and Grace and says the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a nice okay. moment. That's a callback good slap. Okay.
Yes, a callback slap.
I'm okay with
slap.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, like for that. Me, is this a slap when Jason Sudeikis gave Olivia Wilde custody papers while she was on stage at CinemaCon? Is that like a spiritual slap?
No, I think he's just returning fire because she established in the relationship, she was really great at making salad dressing. And he loved that salad dressing. And she took that salad dressing away and she gave it to Harry Styles. And that's a slap. That's a real slap if we're talking about slaps.
That's right. And listen, her holding it with the font and the typeface out so the cameras could get it. It's just like the best moment of their chaotic marriage ending. It's a delight.
You know, in the book I'm gonna greenlight at the end of this episode, it talks about, you know, all these teen soap opera shows, like the best of, you know, the 90s and early 2000s, and talked about The OC, and Misha Barton's character in The OC, it was down to her and Olivia Wilde, and they're like, we can't take Olivia Wilde because she looks so strong that we wouldn't believe her as like a victim character.
Stop it.
I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
I'm gonna say, God, okay, there's so many slaps still I want to talk about. I'm going to say in Flowers in the Attic, when grandma just smokes that kid, freaking smokes that kid so hard it rotates. Like he rotates like 180 degrees.
Why is it so great when kids get slapped? I don't know why I'm pro that, but like when they're garbage kids.
I'm not saying I'm like when kids get slapped.
Not real kids.
I'm saying
fictional children.
If a slap is going to happen,
right,
I would like it to be a very vivid, visceral slap. And that one definitely is.
Yeah, I want to feel it. I want to be like, they slap them for real. There's no way that they fake slap them.
None of this like, air slapping and then we like dub in some like swack. Like, I don't want that. I want like hand on face kind of deal.
My favorite, like the moment I became a huge reality fan. Like, I loved Real World, but like Real World Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched Real World Seattle, but for those of you, you know exactly. It's Irene. Irene's like had it up to here. So she's going to leave the Seattle house. And she goes up to Steven, and Steven was over her. But Steven was not out yet. Like, he was not out of the closet. And then she like went and said, hey, I just have one more thing to say to you. You were right that we would never end up together since you're a homosexual. And he was like, what? And he got so mad, as he should have. He got so mad that first he went and found the stuffed animal of hers that he had hidden. He went and got it and then called out to her and then threw it in like the river or whatever is in Seattle.
Yeah.
And then she's driving off in a car. She's like, how dare you? And she's driving to the car. He chases the car down. For some reason, the driver stops. It's like, oh yeah, this guy, we need to figure out what he needs. What does he need?
Come on.
He opens the passenger door and just reaches in and slaps her. And then he closes the door and they drive off. It is,
again, I'm not here for women getting slapped.
No.
But in that situation, that's interesting.
You don't get to out a person. And I feel like that is a valid and equal response to something.
I'm also not here for that. I'm not here for any of the drama.
Right.
I'm here to assess the drama. And I just want to say, Coach Knox tip to everybody. If you're a driver and your passenger is going somewhere and someone is pursuing them and they seem maybe like agitated, don't stop the car. Don't run down the window.
Don't stop the car.
Also, if you're in a fight and like your buddy's about to get into like with somebody, you don't hold your buddy back. You hold the other person back, okay? Because if you, like, Jamie, if you and Aaron were, like, about to get in a fight, like Jamie, you're about to fight someone
at
Forge, okay?
That's right.
I'm not going to fight Aaron.
My ankles are the only thing that are baby.
You guys are, okay, you guys are a tag team duo.
She goes a fist first.
You guys are a tag team duo, and you're about to fight a third party in Forge, okay?
Okay.
Aaron would
not We already know who it is. We've been thinking about it.
So you know who it is. Aaron wouldn't hold you back. Because she's just setting you up to get sucker punched. Aaron should go hold that other person back. So if you want to, you can sucker punch them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
Because if she's holding you back, she's setting you up to just get annihilated.
Well, you know what I would do? I would do first, I would go into a ball at their feet so that when they
like Sonic, the Hedgehog about to roll.
Yes, like so that when they would come at you, they would trip over.
And I would then punch them in the throat because that's the part we want them to be over.
Aaron, what if you just to yes Ian this, what if you step behind that person and go down like a table and then like they back up over you and then Jamie, boom.
Or I could go, or I could like wrap my arms around their legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that they would be like, ugh.
And see, and then I would just grab their collar and then go dead weight because I'm going to pull you to the ground.
Beautiful.
For sure.
If I go there's another
they
one.
They are going to sit on me.
This one's free. You can do this. That's okay. You can say, hey, your barn door's open. Boom. They're looking down at their zipper. Bam. Right in the face.
Yeah, that's good.
They would respond to that. They would.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Everybody would. They've got to check that. They don't want their barn door open.
We'll take that. Shove it up their nose.
That's right. We're getting too specific.
We are. You'll have to bleep that.
Jason, please.
Yeah, you have to bleep that. Thank you. With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear. Wearing my pair eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pair sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to paireyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's paireyewear.com, code POP.
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/popcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/popcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/popcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/popcast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Aaron, do you have any more slaps? I don't want to like make you like talk all about slaps, but if you have any, you want to contribute.
I have like an off-brand slap that's not really in pop culture, and it's not really a slap.
Okay, so you don't. You just have an anecdote that's not related to our conversation.
You just have a story you want to tell?
Well, I mean, I did give a gentleman on my tennis team a bloody nose for trying to grab my boob on the school bus. On That's the way home from a tournament. It was an elbow. It was an elbow slap.
Oh, so you kind of did what the bodyguard did for Victor in Vegas.
In a way, yeah. But I used my elbow and gave him a bloody nose.
Yeah, I think Brittany was just trying to say hello, and this guy was trying to molest
He was trying to molest you.
Right.
So a little different. No, but other than that, exactly the same
thing. But I mean, not looking back. She just like, pow, like with her elbow.
Yeah, exactly. It was a not look back situation.
Well, see, can I say that one of my favorite slaps in pop culture is when on Broad City, which I want everybody to watch Broad City if you haven't. It holds up
so
beautifully.
Good.
But it's when Alana is trying to decide whether she wants to stay with Lincoln, and she's trying to think through it. And Abby is so sweet. And she's like, listen, Lincoln's your best friend. And Alana slaps Abby so hard. And she goes, you're my best friend. Don't ever call anybody else that. And I just thought that was a nice moment.
So. I just think slaps are so funny. I just think they're so funny.
Slaps are funny.
I like when Vito Corleone in Godfather, spoiler alert.
I was about
alert.
To say, I can't believe
that's
you
the iconic.
Said
that's the iconic Godfather. It's like Slapsgiving.
It's
Slapsgiving on How I Met Your
that's
Mother.
Right. That's
Love
right.
That.
That's iconic. I wouldn't count the Home Alone. Like, that's a self-slap.
Oh, he's like self-slaps. Yeah, no,
yeah, that's like
that.
Shaving, aftershave or whatever. I think, what did else? What, the Five Fingers Say to the Face? Chappelle Show? It's a great slap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I also like when Kermit said, one man's poison, it is another man's bacon. And Miss Piggy just slaps the fire out of him. And then when he falls to the ground off his little, like, Muppet pedestal, she kicks him.
Dang, Piggy. That's right. Tough. That's tough. Do you remember the NBC show, The Slap? Did you watch that?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Wait, is The Slap? It wasn't like a 30 Rock bit.
No.
An actual
show.
Can I read the cast to you? Because this was a special, important show.
Like, not a reality show. This was like a fictional scripted
show. Yeah, I'll read the slug line. A once happy family suddenly begins to fall apart following a seemingly minor incident in which a man slaps another couple's misbehaving child. Okay? And here are the people in this show. Brian Cox. That's right. Logan Roy. Melissa George. Lucas Hedges. Tandaway Newton. Zachary Quinto. Thomas Sadowski, Peter Sarsgaard, Uma Thurman, Victor Garber, the guy who designed the Titanic. Yeah, that's right.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding. This was, and it got like 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, but it was just like a really weird premise. I kind of want to rewatch it now because I love slaps.
Okay.
And then I think last one, this was, I barely remember this as a kid. I don't know if I saw reruns, but I looked this up and it was true. Season 2, episode 14 of Family Ties, Tom Hanks, guest stars as Uncle Ned. That's right. He's got he's struggling professionally and he develops a drinking problem because of it. They have kind of like an 80s intervention, which is to say like not really an intervention, but they are talking to him about it. And then Michael J. Fox is like, look, you got a ribbon for best businessman of the year or something stupid that couldn't actually exist in real life. And Tom Hanks, it's like, this is lame. I'm lame. He tries to throw in the fireplace. And Michael J. Fox is like, no, Uncle Ned, don't. And Uncle Ned freaking smokes Michael J. Fox so hard that he flies over the coffee table. I'm not making that up.
I am telling you.
He goes into the air.
This is my repressed memory, and this is why I hate Tom Hanks. Because I'm telling you, that must be why I hate Tom Hanks. Because I've always thought he's secretly awful, nobody knows, and it's because he slapped precious Michael J. Fox.
He did. Like he slaps him so hard, he goes airborne full rotation into the ground.
Now,
and then
let
he calls
finish,
rehab.
Let me finish
he's like,
the story
I've got a drinking problem.
Is this when he's like, oh no, this is my rock bottom. I slapped Alex, so now I'm a bad person.
Kind of, but then the dad's like, get the H out of my house. And then he calls rehab and tries to make a joke. And he honestly sounds a lot like Woody. This is like when the Woody voice gets born.
Oh, no.
And he's like, oh no, Buzz. And then like, then they accept him into rehab.
It said it was, I'm buzzed.
Boom. joke engage. It's the Oppenheimer joke.
Don't
boom,
add
right
that.
There.
You better leave that in.
Jason, leave it. Leave it. Okay, any other slaps we want to talk about?
I will say this is not, again, we do not want women. I feel like we've done too many disclaimers, but I do love when Alexander Petrovsky slaps Carrie on Sex and the City because it's the moment when finally she realizes, oh, is he bad for me?
Yeah.
Even though everyone in our life, but all of us watching are like, we're glad you've recognized this.
Sure.
And we're also, we kind of hate you, Carrie. And so we're glad you got slapped. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like you like women getting slapped more than I do, honestly.
Children and women.
If I was zooming back. I want people to look up that Flowers in the Attic kid, because he just gets wailed on. Like,
no, for sure.
It's clearly like a My Buddy doll with like a blonde wig, so it's fine.
Listen, I hope this is the section that gets the clip vid this week, so Madison just gets to look up slapping gifts for this.
It's good stuff, Madison. That would be my recommendation. Okay, well, as always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know. DrJamie.com/513. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, it's time for rapid red lights. And listen, first red light is you didn't use the music last time. People, like, came for me
people
so hard.
People didn't like it. They were like, oh, it's too long. I'm busy. I got to do stuff. Can't listen to your music. So I was just trying to honor these.
You were trying to honor
people.
All the haters. There were a lot of people who don't like the music, but I would like the music for this. Okay, first of all, red light to him for rolling his eyes at me. Very frustrating. Snag their cherries. Where? Where many of you lost your virginity. Church. That's what did it. That's what
so
did
much
it.
I don't like about that statement.
Rapid red light. You know what we don't need? Another 72-year-old dad at a high school graduation.
Knox, we don't have time to explain this to you. And you don't really want to know.
To me, because every time a celebrity I love dies, I think of two celebrities I wish had died instead.
Red light to the internet for making this viral.
We don't have time to explain this to you. And you don't really want to know.
Rapid red light.
Red light to him for rolling his eyes at me.
So, first red light. Folks who order a side of soup. Who hurt you? I don't like it. Someone did it when I was out to lunch with them, and I didn't like it.
Was this at a Panera? Which Aaron calls hospital food?
It was at Panera because I wanted Panera. Yes, it was. What did you call it? Nursing home food.
If you get a pick two,
it's hospital food.
Panera's if you get like a half sandwich, half soup, that's okay. That's all right.
Not in July. Get out of here. Second,
but if you go to Don's and you're like, can I have a quarter pounder and soup, please?
That's these are never like. Rapid because of your involvement.
I'm
okay,
sorry.
Don't do it.
I think the quicker I understand that this needs to be a monologue podcast and I just need to post it, the better off we'll be.
Okay. Second, Michael Cera admitted he was not in the Barbie cast group text because he has a flip phone. That's right, you Luddite. Listen, you're not welcome here. We're not ruining this with your green BS. We need full GIF and Bitmoji capacity for your hot takes to matter. Third red light, listener Julie Kellogg sent us a picture from the Texas Panhandle of a car dealership named Pikachu Auto Sales. That feels like a trick. Plus, I don't understand what no money down means. I don't like it. Okay, number four, folks who put one of their feet up while driving. Go directly to jail. You make me so mad on the interstate. What are you doing? So you went to Florida and now you're like a super casual one-foot driver. You can't do that. Number five, red light to film execs who cannot math. FYI, this weekend at the box office, the mediocre movie, number one, Insidious: The Red Door, it was number one at the box office. It cost $16 million to make, and it made $30 million in 1 week. I don't want to do the math for you, but that's $14 million profit. The mediocre movie sequel, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, it cost $294 million to make, and it has now made $121 million. That's $173 million in the red. That's Four Little Women's, 10 Little Miss Sunshines. That's 24 Junos. Listen, make smaller films, you dummies. Number six, people who don't eat the pizza crust. Listen, someone did that with me this week. They didn't eat the pizza crust. And everything I need to know about you is you not eating the pizza crust. I can't explain it. I just know everything I need to know. And finally, Kim Kardashian and Kourtney Kardashian Barker fighting over Kourtney's Italian wedding with Andrea Bocelli. Listen, for all of y'all who are like, why do they care? Why are they fighting? Listen, they're not fighting over Italy. They're not fighting over the voice of an angel, Bocelli. They're fighting over the thing that the two of them have never actually dealt with, which is the fact that Travis Barker moved to Calabasas. Not to be close to Kourtney like Chris is telling you, but according to his own memoir published in 2015, he dated Kim and moved to Calabasas to be closer to her. He called her effing hot and eye candy and said he had a huge crush on her in 2015. And that's why Kourtney's mad, because Travis really wants to be with Kim and no one's talking about it. All right. Those are my rapid red lights.
I had pizza crust takes, but I'm not allowed.
No.
So it's sad because I just...
You eat the pizza crust. You for sure do, right?
First of all, I don't even like that you were about to accuse me of not eating the pizza crust.
No, I don't. But I feel like Aaron also eats the pizza crust.
No, we don't. That was a rapid red light. We're not allowed to talk. That's a no-fly zone.
Stop it. No, Aaron, do you not eat the crust? Doesn't eat the crust.
Yes,
Mom.
I do. I eat the crust.
See, I just wanted you to tell me. Good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was witchcraft.
Yeah, you got bamboozled, Aaron. Okay, my red light this week is, I think I'm worried because in like this mid to late July, there's a lot of content that I have high hopes for. Like really high hopes.
Okay.
And I'm afraid that I'm going to be let down. You know, we've got Dead Reckoning. I'm so in on this. Like Jason was talking about how in on this he was.
Because it's 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Can it actually be that? Can it actually be that good? I don't know. People were like, there's not enough story. There's never enough story. No one can actually tell you anything that happens in Mission Impossible except Tom Cruise running. So I don't know about that.
I don't need story. I just need him running.
Barbie Oppenheimer, I want to call it Barb Oppenheimer. Like, can they both be as good as I want them to be? I don't know. They're saying like Oppenheimer's like a horror movie. Which I'm like, I don't even know. What does that mean?
We get, this was the quote, extended full nudity of Florence Pugh and Cillian Murphy.
What?
What? Why? Exactly. What's that about? Like, I wasn't ready for that tweet. What are you talking about? Why is there nudity with you, in this?
When we got like full nudity of Jennifer Lawrence, I was as taken aback as I've been in a long time in a movie, just because I just didn't understand that. And if we're not going to get that in Don't Worry, Darling, why are we getting it in a movie about the atomic bomb?
Yeah, I wanted it in Don't Worry, Darling. The whole time I was like, why is Harry Styles clothed? What are we doing? Ooh. Also, Barbie, you know, the premiere came out and we're getting the first reviews and they are positive. So that's a good sign.
That's a good thing. But I'm kind of like on the flip side. Also, silly, Cillian Murphy. Wasn't he? He was like fully nude in like 28 Days Later. He does a lot of
yes,
like
he was.
Frontal.
Yeah, no, yeah. We said, and Florence Pugh in The King or The Outlaw or whatever the thing with Chris Pine was with the weird hair.
I don't think I ever watched that through.
Oh, yeah. She's naked in that.
Okay.
And she's naked in, is she naked in Midsommar? I can't remember.
I don't think she is, but that's horrifying. That just movie's horrifying in a naked way. So it kind of counts, I guess. Like, I'm also struggling. Like, what if, I don't know, hypothetically, what if I don't like Barbie? Am I allowed to like live in this world? I don't know that I'll be able to say
no,
that.
No, you are. There's a safe space.
Like, look, I'm all in. I've been invested. But if I get through and I'm like, meh, it was fine.
Which will you see first? Which will you see first, do you think?
Oh.
There's not a right answer. I have bought tickets to Barbie because my girlfriend's, we're going to see it. And my theater sold out. And then I'm going to go see Oppenheimer on Sunday. It's like a Sunday movie for me. Like a Sunday moment.
Just like a light Sunday. Easy breezy, lazy Sunday. Gonna watch millions of people get incinerated.
That's right.
Because I was thinking, if these don't work, if none of these movies hit for me, then I don't know if you've seen the rest of the movie slate. But it's like all we have left is the mediocre Joaquin Phoenix in Napoleon. Have you seen that trailer? I don't know what to think about that. You know,
what about
I love
the dogs? The dogs that give voices.
Yeah. I know it's like the Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell. Yeah. That
but you know, we get the Tyrone clone movie, that one's coming out.
Did you read the Robert Downey Jr. interview in one of the New York magazines where he was like, this summer's a battle for the soul of cinema. And like, we got to figure out who's going to win this.
No, listen to me.
And the same thing he said, Doolittle and something else was the most important work he's ever done. And we'd be like, my man.
See, that's the problem because the clip I saw was him telling Cillian Murphy that this was like, the performance of a generation. You were so amazing. The fact that I got to be there while you did it. This was such an honor. He was so nice. And of course, Cillian was so awkward and was like, thanks, I guess. I don't know. But the problem is, look, as I said in my red lights, I need us to not make 200. We need other movies than $200 million movies.
Do you want the bad news or the bad news? Because I'll give you the bad news. Because there's another article with like Mattel and they're like, guess what? We're going full guns. We're going fully frontal nudity with all of our IP, which means, I don't know if you're familiar with their IP, that means we're getting the Uno movie, the American Girl Dolls movie, the Pictionary movie, Scrabble movie, Minecraft movie. These are not movies I want to see.
Now
these
listen, if it could be Game Night, but it's like a twist, I liked Game Night. Sponsored by Pictionary, sure, whatever. But
I mean,
like,
Hot Wheels is just Fast and Furious, so I feel like that could work. But the Uno movie, like, I don't know. Like, reverse card, like, draw four. How's this cinematic?
What about Skip-Bo? I'm into Skip-Bo.
I don't know what Skip-Bo is. What are you talking about?
Skip-Bo card game. Aaron, have you ever played Skip-Bo?
I love Skip-Bo. And what about a Phase 10?
Oh, I love a Phase 10. Aaron and I love, what if there's a Two Dots movie?
Ooh, a Two Dots. June's Journey.
June's Journey, but dark, like a dark comedy.
What if there's
comedy?
A Spoons movie? I know people play Spoons. I don't play Spoons.
Mafia?
I don't play games.
Oh, Mafia. That's right.
Yeah, it's Spades. Called The Godfather. That was the Mafia movie.
Spades. Yeah.
You guys are just naming stupid card games. This isn't even a good
idea. Not stupid. Spades is a delight.
Solitaire.
There's no. Oh, what's Minesweeper? Let's just go all the way back. Pitfall.
No, just keep going. I want to keep all this.
Jazz.
Keep going.
Listen, if you're asking when we can end, it's never. Like, Chutes and Ladders.
I'm worried. I'm just worried about movies. No, I'm worried about having
my hopes up. Problem is August is coming, and August is the darkest time. Like, it is the darkest time. Yeah.
Okay, what's your green light this week?
Okay, I have two green lights. So first up is a podcast series. Now, do not listen to other podcasts. However, when there are limited series, I will allow it. And this one is so good. It's called The Retrievals. It's from Serial. And listen, I think Serial has been, you know, hit and miss occasionally with when they do their own separate productions. But this one is fantastic. It's hosted by Susan Burton. It's it starts at a Yale fertility clinic where dozens of women begin their IVF cycles, and the surgical procedure causes them enormous, excruciating pain. And in the hours that follow, they're like, "Hey, like, I'm in a lot of pain," and some mystery comes about because they're finding out that the drugs that are meant to keep them from being in pain are being stolen by a nurse on staff. And it is a fascinating tale. And here's what I'm going to tell you why this is so good. There's five episodes. The Retrievals is everything Scamanda wishes it could have been. I know I'm going hard after Scamanda, but here's the thing. Scamanda needed an editor and a sound designer. Listen, the sound design alone in Serial is so outstanding that they brought that energy to The Retrievals, and it's so good. So that's my first green light. And then my second green light is a stand-up special. I've watched six stand-up specials this week, and all of them have been fine. Like Tom Segura, Kevin Hart, like they've been fine. But when I finally landed on Kyle Kinane's new special, Shocks and Struts, it is fantastic. And listen, you can watch it on YouTube. He released it himself. And here's what I love about Kyle Kinane. He's like that perfect balance of he makes fun of everybody without hesitation. He does a bit about men who have trucks that call them she, but then put truck nuts on them. And he says that you've white trashed yourself into being progressive because you have a they truck. It is perfection. He's so funny. I love him so much. He's a great storyteller. And so that's, I highly recommend his stand-up special on YouTube.
My green light this week is a book. It is this man. Sometimes you read a book and you're like, I'm kind of offended that I was not reached out to and given this book and told about this book, or this didn't make its way into my vision field because it so perfectly aligns with who I am. Like my Venn diagram is just a perfect circle. And this book is called Freaks, Gleeks, and Dawson's Creek, How 17 Shows Transformed Television. It's by Thea Glassman. And it basically... each chapter tells the story of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, My So-Called Life, Dawson's Creek, Freaks and Geeks, The OC, Friday Night Lights, and Glee. And it goes super deep into how they got pitched, how they got created, how they got cast, the process of making the show when it was like, is this going to work, through, you know, people becoming a big deal because of it, all except for Freaks and Geeks. But it is, I think if you listen to the show for pop culture content or for TV recommendations, or you just liked any of these TV shows growing up, I think you're going to love this book. And even if you just want to pick and choose, like maybe you didn't watch Freaks and Geeks or Glee or whatever, but you watch the other ones, it's worth listening to those chapters alone because they're so thoughtful. They are so filled with knowledge that I didn't know, or oral history content that I'd never seen or read before. And I think Thea Glassman does a really good job of bringing together larger thematic shifts in culture of like, this is why this show worked now. This is why this didn't work, or this didn't resonate. This is why Friday Night Lights never really managed to capture an audience, or this is why these storylines had to go away. Really, really well done. I listened to an audiobook and got through it in a day. So I think everybody will really enjoy it.
Listen, it's almost 4.3 stars on Goodreads. Awesome.
It's good stuff. It's really, really good stuff. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. And before you go, remember, anytime you need shopping on Amazon, make sure you go to amazon.com/shop/thepodcast first. So you purchase your affiliate link or for item purchase using that link this week was. Jamie, this is just Twizzlers in bulk.
Listen, thank you for using our link. We appreciate it. But Twizzlers are disgusting. Like, I just want to say that. Like, Twizzlers
sure. Okay. I think they're fine. They're fine.
They're fine. But they're not your first choice.
They're a way station to a better choice.
That's right. So, however, these have 1,100 global ratings, 4.5 stars. I will say my three favorite reviews, because there were no questions on this. Nobody was like, are Twizzlers good? No, there are no questions. But C. McGee wrote, tastes stale and hard. Gave it 1 star. That's what Twizzlers taste like. Michelle Moore wrote, pass, don't risk your teeth or dental work. That's exactly right. And then Glenn wrote, very hard and chewy, like year old Halloween candy. Who's eating year-old Halloween candy, Glenn. That's not good. All right. All right, you guys, don't forget, we are coming to two cities near you-ish, kind of, not maybe, but in September, Austin and Atlanta on September 2nd and September 30th. Our faces would love to see your faces. Head to knoxandjamie.com/live to snag your tickets. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on socials at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.